Blog Talk Radio.
Believe
in the shield.
Believe
in evolution.
Believe he's got the whole world in his hands. Believe.
Everybody loves Bo. What are you talking about? Everybody loves me!
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host Matt Marrero along with...
Satish Ram would like to inform you that that took our entire audio editing budget for the rest of the next 3 years.
We have a budget?
That's the joke. No.
We don't anymore. Well, we had a shoestring budget, literally a shoestring. Now it's gone. We really tried on this.
We worked on that. That shoestring was traded on eBay for multiple things, none of them resulting in money. But hey, Matt's good at audio editing.
If that's what you want to call that. Yeah, so here we are talking about Monday Night Raw. It's been a while since we both got together.
Like it,
talking,
right?
Talking about wrestling. But yeah, a lot of stuff has happened.
1 week?
Yes, but usually we do something. Usually we do main event. So basically we'll start with the main event, and then we will talk about any, you know, main event SmackDown things in previous, you know, last week when they become relevant. All right,
go
so let's talk about this. Let's talk about this main event. Shield versus Evolution. It's not new, but honestly, both sides are good enough to really keep this going, I think, in a way that this match doesn't seem stale at all.
Yeah, it's fun because there are certain parts of it that make me laugh. Like when Ambrose basically says, like, you know, the team that wins is going to eliminate the other from the business.
Which
like,
is hilarious.
It's funny to me, if only because, dude, Triple H runs the business. So it's not, in storyline, it's not like he's going to step down and be like, well, you pinned me in the ring, 1, 2, 3. I guess I have to relinquish this entire billion-dollar company. Good
what
job,
I do
team.
Have to, I have to be honest, though. I think that's where they're going in real life. So I think they're trying to tie everything together.
Yeah, no,
I think with
so
the with
cool.
I think with the stock I think with the stock problems and with the money issues, I think that's what they're trying to do.
WWE is failing, so Triple H can leave in storyline because in real life they're failing financially.
And they fired him. Yes,
that would be the most all inclusive swerve type. I would be so floored that I may give WWE leeway for like a year.
Just for a full year. Full year.
Like a complete get-out-of-jail-free card for anything. You want to put on another midget match? Sure, because you've earned it.
What's even worse is that they're little people. They're little people, right? But they would call it that. They'd be like the midget
That's
match.
The thing. Yeah, like I don't say midget. It's not really part of my vocabulary. But
no.
I swear to God, that's going to come up in commentary. Midgets, Maggle. God damn it. But we're doing it again, which we'll get to. But no, like in terms of doing it again, Shield Evolution is a thing that they can do again. It's going to work.
Yeah.
New stipulation was so it's elimination, no DQ, right?
Right, which is funny because elimination, good, right? Like, that's the new thing. No DQ, I understand that, you know, obviously, you know, I like there being different match types at different pay-per-views, but you just had one called Extreme Rules.
Well, you could have made it, dun-dun-dun, Extreme Rules.
Well, it kind of was, in a way.
And it was, you know, in a way, it was very wild to the point where, in terms of a normal six-man tag match, that one pushed the limit in a good way, right?
And technically there was no DQ. They just decided not to bring out a ton of weapons. But it was no DQ because they were out of the ring for a long amount of time and no one was disqualified.
Actually, no, because they were not the legal men.
Hmm.
At no time were those guys illegal men when they spilled outside like that.
Fair point.
So
fair point.
That was all legal, considering
fair
all the
point.
Stuff that went on in the ring was still legal. So
Right.
It's technically that was a normal DQ and ring out six-man tag.
Yes.
So in terms of story progression, this is cool, but you've definitely got a point. I mean, we just had Extreme Rules. You could have done it there and then maybe stepped it up again to another Extreme Rules match. So I guess I can't blame them that much.
It would be WWE 13, us playing all over again. It's in a six-man tag elimination last-man-standing match.
We've tried to break the game that way.
Yeah, it didn't let us.
Two out of three falls, last man standing matches.
With submission
tornado tag. Tornado tag. It's just...
With Iron Man rules.
Some of those matches happen where we've had, like, two out of three falls, Hell in a Cell tornado tags. And we'll just be thrashing. It's like, Matt, you ready to finish the match? Nah. That's like, all right, fine.
Yeah.
Breaks the pin.
Oh, man.
This is a redux of the match I'm happy with. And I know you are, too.
Yes. But as you mentioned, you know, which I want to add on to, it is kind of funny where it's just, you know, it's like, this may be the last time that S.H.I.E.L.D. and Evolution are in the ring together. And it's like, Dean, your money. Your money, their money, I can see this happening until SummerSlam.
I can see them doing it again.
If they don't, kudos to them. But honestly, I see them doing this until SummerSlam, which is a bit upsetting.
Oh, and by the way, before we go on, I always like to point out, our guest call-in number is 718-664-9468. That's 718-664-9468. As always, we'll be taking calls right around 12 o'clock, if necessary. We would love to hear from you if you want to call in and talk to us about anything that concerns Raw, wrestling, Daniel Bryan, Bo Dallas, Adam Rose.
Mm-hmm. Everything.
Matt.
Or me, yes. Or
and
I,
his,
myself.
You know, and his eventual wrestling career. We would love to discuss that, too.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
Because all you got to do, Matt, is believe.
I'm going to be Damian Sandow. I
think you're going to be Bo Dallas's first follower. I believed, and you can too.
Yeah, basically. But what I do have to say, though, before we move away from the main event is I really enjoyed how much chemistry these guys have. I really do feel as if, because while I want them to move away from things because I want things to be fresh, if they did this until SummerSlam, this is the matchup that can be fresh up until SummerSlam. This is the match.
You're right, and part of it is just the amount of people where they ran up the last match a certain way, where you can book the actual camera, like what goes on in the ring, rather, for this match completely differently, if only because of the fact that you now have new stipulation, you know?
Of course.
So you could do this again, and it would be a little bit harder to do the build in terms of promo, but the match itself would still be rewarding. And
Yes.
I don't know what they're going to do in terms of keeping it until SummerSlam. I don't think I'd be happy with it again.
The stipulations, it would be too much because, you know, now we live in a – well, first off, there's six-man tag, so it's a lot harder, right?
Right.
It's a lot harder.
Next month is what, Money in the Bank, right? No, this is – yes, no, Money in the Bank is next month.
Yes.
So
– yeah, so stipulations will get a bit harder. You know, I think the funniest one would be SummerSlam. It's just – because, as you know, I'm going to the Heat Wave tour in New York. And,
right.
It's just really funny. It's just, you know, it's like, are they really fighting? Yes. Six-man tag under heat lamps. You know, what are they going to do?
What I might like, and I don't know how this would work, but if it goes on to SummerSlam, I'd like three singles matches.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. And make Matisse the shortest, because if he's under those heat lamps, he'll be done in about half. So if he's already done at three,
thinking of the
if
heat
he's
lamps,
already,
but thank
if
you
he's
for
already
bringing
done
that
at
back
three,
into the
if
equation.
If he's already done at 3 minutes, the heat lamps will be about a minute 50.
Make him
so
fake
we,
for Batista. Just make him tanning lamps.
Also, I don't know why I said 50. A minute 30, because that's how time works. Either way,
make them tanning lamps. I mean, I'm sure Paige and Sheamus have tanning lamps he can borrow. On that note,
of course, you know, they just need to replace the batteries. So moving forward, now we move the clock back. We move it to the beginning of the night, and in the beginning of the night, Brad Maddox became a face, or something.
Oh well, first off, as always, Memorial Day promo video package.
Oh,
real nice.
In
general,
everything they've done has been so beautiful that it finds a way to make me hate John Cena because I love him. Because of all the things that he's, you know, that he does like this, it's just you just sit there and you go, oh, well, Bray's never going to win.
It's funny because when John started off his promo later in the night for the Memorial Day thing, I sat there and I was like, no, I don't like you, John. I still am not going to like you, but this was done well, and I'm really mad that it was done well. Because, you know, again, kudos hat to WWE, because the one thing they always get right on the spot is video editing, video packaging, that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it irked me so much that they made John voice it over, because it was basically like that kid who's rubbing it in your face, you know, like,
I felt as if it was more, because honestly, I know that, you know, if we want, most people, when they relate John Cena to a heel turn, they think of Hulk Hogan, right? When most people, you know, and yes, his heel turn was, you know, I mean, insanity, everyone went nuts for it, kids were crying and everything. Honestly, though, John Cena, if that ever happened, which it wouldn't because it can't, I feel as if money would actually be lost. People would just stop watching and move on to something else. So it's actually kind of upsetting that not only can they not do the heel change anyway, you know, the heel turn, but they also have to make it so that he's the face.
I don't want to argue with you on the fact that money might be lost, because it might, but it's weird for me because I can think about it. I can see that. And it's weird that we got him from Memorial Day promo. I feel bad. Because we're not even talking about him as much. We haven't even touched on the segment yet. But it's interesting because if you think about the fact that we watch and we complain about John Cena, we are still watching. You know, so it's not like you're going to – you'll gain some IWC viewers, and people will say, yeah, I like what they're doing with this. But a lot of people were already watching. And, you know, we kind of tolerate the Cena that's thrown at us.
That's,
you know,
why,
we don't,
that's why
we don't watch for John Cena, but
that's why
we
I wasn't referring
it.
To us. Yes, that's why I was referring to actually.
Yeah,
to
but on
the
flip side, right?
The kids.
And this is where I think you were going. The kids
will.
You could lose viewership there.
Yeah.
And again, WWE was originally and still is in a very large way marketed towards younger children. So it's a slippery slope.
It definitely.
I'm part of the boat, and I know you are too, where his character needs a little refinement, because as much as I would love a heel turn, if only because I am selfish and greedy, and I have no problem admitting that John Cena heel turn would be amazing, I think that refinement to his character, where he doesn't half-ass his stuff, he doesn't joke around for his promos and stuff, you know, there's some continuity with him.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like the
vulnerability. Even if he continues on top, it's just...
I'm okay with jokes. I think problem is, here's the thing, like you said, though, vulnerability. Because you can have him make jokes, and then someone point out you're making jokes because you're scared. And he goes, well, that's just how I deal with it. The point is, though, is that it's okay to be scared.
And that
would have
been okay.
Yeah,
I see where you're going there. Yes.
Because that's the thing I think we need. Because, yes, you might say, well, kids need to look up to a superhero. Kids know that superheroes don't exist. We're in the quote-unquote reality era. Just all you really need to do is just tweak it to where John Cena isn't a superhero, but he's freaking stronger than everyone else on the roster, let's say.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
that's
possible where he could cut, like, an amazing promo where he's just like, you know, after he loses a match, where it's like, I know what you guys think of me, but if you cut me, I will bleed. You know, if you, something like that. I want a promo like that from John Cena. And that'll be the promo where we look back and we think, damn, he really had it that night. It'll be that promo, that if you cut me, I'll bleed promo. Where he basically
Speaking of
says,
John Cena promos, somehow we jumped from Memorial Day to this, but it's relevant. He had some great promos recently. He really has, I feel. You know, with the main event stuff, I really, I think that he's a, really? I feel as if he's been serious enough to make it not, no jokes is what I'm saying, other than the, you know, it wasn't this Friday, it was the Friday before, with the whole, you know, Bray Wyatt's pants and,
See, that really put
that
a sour
was,
taste in
right,
my mouth.
But that wasn't last Friday, nor was that on main event.
Right. No, I mean,
so,
you're not wrong.
For every two good John Cena promos, he has to have one. He just can't – it can't be – just like the people saying how, you know, it's like, oh, is John Cena going to lose 3 pay-per-views in a row? That hasn't happened in God knows how long. It's the same thing with him in promos.
Yeah, it's like third time's the charm. He comes out there. He's got no balls.
Damn it, John.
Yeah.
Damn it.
You
were
so
close. Yeah,
but – I'll give you that much. I'll grudgingly give you last week. I just –
Right.
Mm. And tonight was good in terms of tone. I just didn't like the promo. But we'll get to that.
Right. So Brad Maddox is a face. What I really feel is
weird. I felt so bad for him because he's technically almost always been a face.
It's just funny because I feel as if
people love him.
Yes, but what I feel was weird is that you know, there are a lot of people recently, like with Sandow and now with Maddox, where the authority as heels feel as if they need to punish someone, but they always choose the guy that's a heel. And it's very awkward because I know you don't want to start like a giant promo, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But still, it's just why Brad I understand why Brad Maddox, obviously. It made sense in storyline. But the way it was just done in a way where it's just you feel bad for him, don't you? And most people, if they remember who he is, because it's been so long, might think, I feel bad for the situation, but
yeah,
he's always your puppet anyway.
Yeah, Brad has been in power and basically been a puppet, as you said. And
he
hasn't had much choice there, where if it goes right, it's because of the authority, and if it goes wrong, it's on him. So it's been tough for him, and he doesn't get that much TV time in a realistic sense. So it's just very, very – I don't know. There was some sympathy going on because you make anybody get beaten up by a heel Kane, who apparently just took out Daniel Bryan. You know where,
and what's great is now he's been fired, and I wonder who's going to plead his case, because who's going to come out and go, Brad Maddox shouldn't be fired.
It's
so he's clearly going.
Who's
going back
GM?
To developmental.
Who's going to be the next GM, and what are they going to do? You know what? Are they going to actually have GM storylines again?
No. They won't.
I know, but
No.
I like them.
I love them, but they're not going to give a
damn about
any of them.
Except for the anonymous Raw GM one. You know, in case you're listening, WWE, I swear to God, if you give me that computer again, I am turning off the fucking television.
But no, they're not going to do something like that. No.
They gave me Alicia Fox with Steve Weisers. I think I can hope for a GM storyline.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I think Stone Cold just lives under there.
He prepped them there. He was supposed to appear tonight in Tennessee, but we got Davy Crockett instead. They shouldn't be disappointed. They got Davy Crockett.
They shouldn't, but...
I thought he was dead.
I would like that. I did as well, but, you know, timey-wimey.
Saw Michael Jackson holographically last week, but hey.
Yes, I enjoy what they're doing, you know, to Daniel Bryan, like, you know, with the first segment, because in the first segment, you just really had them really build up Daniel Bryan. Because, yes, you might be like, oh, well, no, but the fact that they're trying to keep him relevant means that they actually care about him. I won't know what happens when he comes back from SummerSlam, but from the way, you know, from the rumors and everything, backstage, the plan is for him to just fight for the titles again.
What you just said, where you mentioned that they must believe in him to be handling it the way they are, and they have to be. And I like that. It's weird because I want to be angry at them, and I am angry at Steph and Triple H, and that's good.
Yes.
Because I know that this is entertainment, and I shouldn't be angry, and yet that I still get mad at them because I'm like, shut up! Shut up, you assholes! You are horrible people, and this is good! And I like that they can incite that emotion, especially when placed in contrast to Daniel Bryan. You know, and when we talk about, like, the Steph-Daniel chemistry, Daniel is just such a likable fucking human being.
Oh, yeah.
And so you've got them in the opening segment just thrashing this guy, saying, yeah, well, he was what we said. You know, he was just B+. We told you. You bitches didn't listen.
Well, what's even great is they didn't say he is. They said his body was, which is great because it's just they're not even – they're like, oh, well, you know what? His mentally, all right, A+ player. He put his mind over matter. But sadly, the matter, you know, is B+.
Steph, although she can't do certain things right, like Maddie, her fact checker, commented on this, and I agree with her wholeheartedly, she needs to not do the you're fired thing because she doesn't have it going for her.
Really? I thought it was off, very off, but I did hear a Mr. McMahon underneath it, which was very
interesting. I got nothing.
Really?
From her.
Really?
What I did like, though, is that she does the condescending tone so much that I want to strangle her because it feels like she's my family. Like, you want to talk to me like that, you bitch? Yes.
Yeah.
Cheer Daniel Bryan. Shut up. I hate you. It's, I really like what she's doing there.
Yes, that's
fun,
true.
Fun and handled well opening segment, I would say.
Most definitely. Also, I will be quoting different announcers, different, you know, commentators during the night. I'm going to be quoting King. referring to Brad Maddox. Think that shirt can be any tighter, you know, tighter on Brad Maddox? You're going to sit there and talk about tight shirts, Jerry? Really?
Jerry, you wear clothes that I would be wearing, and that's why I've stopped wearing them. I've changed my wardrobe because of you, Jerry Lawler. I now look sexy.
Now,
if anyone
actually knows the Tish personally, if you don't, he's actually started wearing older Jerry the King Lawler shirts. So he wears these very frilly crown, you know, with the crown and everything, because that's what Jerry has moved away from.
I'm regal.
Yes.
Not like
yes.
William Regal. I'm Regal
oh.
as in like Prince.
Oh,
I would
sure.
like to be William Regal.
That would be nice. For like
but
a day.
I can't give myself that much credit.
No. You definitely can't. Cesaro versus RVD. It wasn't special, but what was special, I'll say, is Cesaro's strength, because that's just one thing. Maybe it was just the fact that the announcers were actually doing their damn job and coming, you know,
maybe
talking about
Barrett
it.
Was there. I mean, I think
also, yes.
part of it was Barrett being there. And I love Barrett when he's had the chance to be him, because although I didn't like his Bad News promo in the beginning, because it felt kind of generic and, like,
standard.
You know, cardboardish.
Yes.
But
yeah.
when he sat down, it was just like, you attack RVD. He's like, no, as a champion, I'm just demonstrating that, you know, I can hit my elbow in a couple different ways. That's all
yeah.
I was doing. Don't fault me.
Yeah.
I was like, God damn it, that
yeah.
was good. So,
yep.
so when he's given time, I think someone writes his Bad News things and they're just cut and dry. But
yeah.
I feel like when he's put on commentary like that or given some actual time, he has a little leeway to be himself. And he is a
yeah.
very entertaining and worthwhile person to back.
True. So we move forward a bit and we move on to the Divas match.
Take it away, sort of.
Eva Marie versus Summer Rae. Yes, Eva Marie versus Summer Rae.
They both have nice theme songs.
Yes. The storyline thing was understandable. I mean, I knew that, you know, something was going to happen. But it's
yes.
just very interesting that, first off, I was sad that Eva Marie won in general. Then the second thing I realized that got me, no, what made me even more depressed, I fell into a depression for a bit. That was the first time I've heard her theme song in months.
And she won.
And she won. Think about it. She actually has a win on her record.
Eva Marie does have a good theme song, but we never get to hear it because she usually gets the Jobber Diva entrance. And you're right. I don't think I've heard her theme song on television before that. And
no,
I'm
yeah,
just
it might have
laughing.
Been at SummerSlam. Yeah, that's a huge problem. I think I heard it recently, but it was cut off because that's the thing. It's been you know cut off whatever.
Right.
I've never heard it.
Looks good though.
Oh yes, I've never heard it done in the way where it's just oh yes.
Right.
It,
you know you can actually sit and listen to her. Right.
Yeah. Which was very upsetting.
I mean I know that a lot of people out there are cringing because it's like Eva Marie got a win over Summer. It's for storyline advancement and it's not for pushing Eva Marie. It's for putting Summer in a storyline with Layla. Don't worry, people. Put your pitchforks down. It's okay.
It's funny. Someone sat there and thought they're pushing Eva Marie. That's never the idea.
That's never the idea. Don't worry.
No. Push her into a magazine. Push her into some skimpy clothes because that's how WWE operates. But push her into the ring? No.
Cue Jerry Lawler. I'd like to push something into her. Yes, we know you would, King. But it would never
yeah.
happen. It would
no.
never happen.
No.
But on moving on from that.
Cody Rhodes! He spoke! He had lines! Someone thought, let me write something for Cody Rhodes.
And it was followed up with a wonderful... He called me a skinny jean sellout. Well, you have big legs. I couldn't stop breathing. I couldn't stop laughing. I stopped breathing. There we go. I messed up so bad.
Oh.
It messed me up so much. But no, Cody, personality.
No oxygen.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yay. Then they got killed. But that's later
yeah.
on.
And then, okay, here's the next match that came up. And this match, you know what? We were talking on the phone and we said nothing angered us. Actually, I'm sorry. This angered me. El Torito versus Drew McIntyre. The one thing on the card, though, that angered me, if I remember correctly, like really truly angered me, and here's why.
No, please, go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay, so the problem, okay, it's good that you're trying to throw El Torito out there to fight, singles competitors. The problem is that they're the lowest of the totem pole. at the, you know, the lowest of, he might as well be fighting Zack Ryder right now. And two is the fact that they're not treating his wins seriously, regardless of how legitimately he gets them. And it kind of angers me.
Part of that is commentary, and part of that is Vince.
It's Vince
and
McMahon.
You can back me up on this completely because of something you mentioned, but we didn't get to talk to about on our own. The leaked SmackDown.
Yes, if anyone doesn't know about this, it's an amazing thing. Basically, well, as I'm sure you know, SmackDown's filmed on Tuesday. They air on Friday. Clearly, that's a lot of time.
What?
Yeah, right?
Nani? But yeah, go on.
Clearly, that is a lot of time to edit, right? So they'll do things. Actually, I didn't see the whole thing myself. I do have it on my computer. But I have heard that there were even different takes, that you would have Cole sitting there saying, really, I have to say that again? I have to say it this way? Yes, sir. So basically, and they'll have him do different takes so that they'll look better in the production promos. But of course, if you're on SmackDown, you wouldn't notice that because they've cut it all up and they've done this and that. I mean, hell, during the leaked version, I saw Cole, JBL, and Jimmy Hart come out right before they actually started the damn thing. But anyway, point is, like I said about Cole, he gets things fed into his ear. They all do, right? And we didn't know how bad it was till we see leaked SmackDown and he actually has to stop commentary and say certain things. But, of course, with their mics, they can easily cut that out. I mean, hell, they've cut out a lot of different fan, interaction via their main event and their SmackDown. I mean, look at a guy like Paul Heyman, who on Monday was being cheered vigorously. And then they realize that was a problem. And then on Tuesday, if you see the main event, you'll see that it's very edited out. They really try to get people doing the thumbs down thing, even though you can see other people wooing and cheering because it's Paul Heyman.
Yeah, I mean, and you said what needs to be said on that, but it's just one thing I want to zone in on or be specific about, I guess, is the commentary from that SmackDown. Because you can just, you get the influence of Vince in his ear. And it makes me think that it just, the reason that we're not supposed to take Chirito seriously is because of Vince. Because Vince sits there and he says this midget, you know, because he, I assume, says midget. I know that seems bigoty, but I feel like that's what he thinks. Can't really do stuff. So we need to, even when we let him do stuff, make people remember that he is a little person and not supposed to be a real competitor. And it just, and it's crazy because, like, without commentary, right?
Yeah.
The progression to this mask versus hair match would actually be kind of relevant. And a mask versus hair match is kind of like a traditional respectful match. You know, that's not something they're making up. That's something that's been done before. Ray's been in those matches, and I like those.
Yeah.
You know,
and I will say, I do like some of the funnier segments, like, you know, like, oh, El Torito lost his tail. Oh, wait a minute, like, you know, it's like, wait, which one has the mask? You know, from JBL. I'll admit, little things like that will make me snicker because, you know, it's like, no, it's a real bull. I swear, that's something that I would do. It's fine. But when it gets to the point where it's downgrading his ability as a professional wrestler, because when they're not saying that he's a bull, which, again, is a joke, I'm fine with that. When he isn't a bull, he's a midget. That's when you have to step back and think, like, oh, poor little guy. He's going to get himself hurt. It's like, listen, all right, he's been hired by you guys. If, you know, are you saying that you're liable to get him injured? Not that I'm the kind of guy who really wants to get into, you know, legal thing, but still, really, it's like you guys hired him. Well, we didn't hire him to wrestle. Someone booked this match.
Yeah,
someone said
just,
this was okay.
It just bothers me because even when they try to make these segments seem serious, I feel like there's a hint of like sarcasm or satire. You know, like they're making fun of it. Where McCole is like, that was a devastating, one of the worst segments on Monday Night Raw ever. You know, like with him losing his tail. And it's like, you're doing this to mock him.
Actually, I'm sorry. Because he lost his tail, that was the only time where I thought, okay, this is a Mae Young have bursting a hand type segment. We're okay. Right?
I don't know. I feel like they're trying to make that sound serious for a bit, and they're just kind of like that bully that chuckles to himself. Like, yeah.
No, I
that
agree.
That was bad.
No, I agree. That was really bad.
Punches them in the face again. Kind of. I understand that Chirito can be used for some comedy things because, hell, he is a fucking bull. I mean, I wholeheartedly, and I mean, I'm all for fun segments. I mean, you know that I'm an Adam Rose supporter. I was okay with the Funkadactyls and Brodus Clay and Xavier Woods. And I like entertainment on my entertainment show. I just feel bad because it's almost exactly what you said. When it starts degrading him as a competitor, I'm going to take issue. When it starts degrading him as a person, just because he's a little bit shorter, I will take issue. You can make him entertaining. I just...
Yes.
It's a fine line. I will say that.
And it's also the thing where he got a win on both Slater and McIntyre, which means that, so then shouldn't he be worth something? And it's like, no, but, you know, and then they'll say things like, I think they did call him a midget live on air, didn't they?
I would hope not, because if they did, I may have deleted that from my memory.
Okay, no, because I know that they said one thing where I want to say they said midget, but only because I thought the WLC commentary was bad, and then they were saying stuff like, oh, no, I'm sorry, they didn't say that. There's still the fact that they said, like, oh, poor little guy. I think it was poor little guy made me think he isn't a child. He isn't a child, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's getting paid so much that, you know, sadly, regardless of what he thinks, it's like, well, he's getting paid and he's doing his job, but, ugh. I mean, this guy was a legend. He looked like a legend.
Oh, yeah. If you haven't seen Chirito's work outside of WWE, do yourself a favor and check it out, because he's pretty talented.
Oh, most definitely.
But before we jump into the next segment, of course, it is 12 o'clock, which means if anyone would like to jump in, talk to us about perhaps Bo Dallas. I would love if you talked to me about Bo Dallas. I would really like that. But I believe that you would call in and talk to me about Bo Dallas. But yeah, for the next 10 minutes or so, feel free to call in, get your opinion in on Raw on a segment. We've got our first one in at the moment. As always, it is a friend of ours. And that would be Mr. Daniel.
Hello, those guys. You have failed this city.
Oliver Queen? I don't think it's Daniel. I think he killed Daniel. I think Oliver Queen killed Daniel and stole his corpse. I'm not there with them. I wouldn't know.
Okay.
So anyway, Daniel, you watched Raw tonight.
Yes, I did.
Good.
Yes, I did.
What did you enjoy about tonight's Raw, Daniel?
Okay. Can we talk about Alicia Fox for a second?
Let's jump in our way back machine. Except now it's a way forward machine. Yes. Now we're at Alicia Fox.
I hate you for your joke, but okay.
That
ranks up there with the corniest things you've ever said on air. Hey, guys, let's jump into our way back machine. Except, Swerve, it's not a way back machine. It's a way forward machine. All right.
Oh, my God.
Well, that would get you Bo Dallas heat in a millisecond. In a second. They would just be like, you know what? F this guy. Boo! Well, at least I would. And obviously, I stand for the entirety of the WWE audience. Go on, Dave. That is quite
sad. Guys, do you know what's sad?
What?
I ended up, when I was listening to Bo Dallas, I'm like, yeah, I like this guy. I'm like, wait, where did I not come from? I'm supposed to hate him.
We'll talk about that later, but I do admit I'm not the biggest fan of what they're doing with Bo, because I think he's being one of those people that actually has interesting things to say. But we'll talk about that later, though. But as of right now, so you want to bring up Alicia Fox, I assume her triple-double meltdown with cheese.
Are you trying to
do this tonight? I'm going to kill you, man.
Look, I'm really tired, all right? I've had a long weekend. I was in Chicago.
Then mail it in. Don't throw those jokes out there.
I don't have any more stamps. I'm sorry.
I'm going to kill you through the phone.
Okay, first,
fresh start. Daniel, tell me about your feelings about the Alicia Fox.
Yeah, what did the Fox say?
Okay. Thank God they got Emma out of
fucking
away from Santino. Thank God they got Emma away from Santino. And second, like, am I the only one enjoying, like, I'm not the only one enjoying her meltdowns, am I? She gave a guy a wedgie. She gave a man a wedgie. And it's like, yes.
No,
and then
Liv
kissed him.
What?
Yes. And she may have kissed him. I don't know.
What I will say, though, is that, no, you're not the only one. A lot of people, including the kids, I mean, the wedgie was for the kids, I believe. Everyone's enjoying the meltdowns. I don't know where it's going, and that's the thing. I want it to go somewhere, but as of right now, they are very entertaining, because no matter what happens, whether she wins or she loses, she still does some crazy shit.
Yeah, but my thing is, like, I'm like, I see her. I'm like, you're not winning against Paige. I'm sorry. As much as she's been doing this past few weeks, you're not winning against Paige.
Yeah. And then that happened. But, hey, at least Emma beat her. What I enjoyed, okay, here's the thing. Not only did Emma beat her, but Emma was tough during the match because Fox didn't take her seriously, which is very good. And then Emma can sell very well. So when Fox threw her head into the barricade, it looked like she died.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, is Emma okay? Because I know how anatomy works. I kind of know how anatomy works. And that your head's not supposed to bang against something that hard.
That's the thing. It's like,
are you JR now? Are you?
Yeah.
That was a very JR-esque line. Just like, I know the human anatomy, King. The head is supposed to bounce that way. My God! My God, that's a human being! That could have broken her skull!
I'm just saying, apparently I'm podcasting with JR and Bo Dallas, and I feel like shit now, because I'm just like, what am I doing? What am I really doing tonight? Am I drunk? Am I dreaming? Am I high? Did I find the acid tablet? Am I having a meltdown? I don't know.
Mr. Ram,
this is scary.
What you need to be high on is life.
Dude,
help.
Dude,
send help. Somebody send
God,
help Tumblr.
You should be honest.
Help me, I'm being repressed.
Dude, you should be honored to be doing a podcast with Jim Ross.
Jim Ross would never say that.
I know
you're not Jim Ross now.
He's my second favorite commentator behind Michael Cole.
What? Behind Michael Cole?
I But, you know, in an effort to put this back on track, Danny, you pointed out the fact that Emma's not with Santino anymore. Did they just kind of, like, throw that under the rug?
No, No, they've had singles competition with her recently-ish, with him not being there. I know it happened at one point recently. I believe it was...
So did that just subtly, like, because you know that my memory is pretty bad, so I'm like, did that just subtly kind of get phased out, or did we have no conclusion, you know?
No. Santino's off TV for right now. I don't know.
Well, here's what I believe. You noticed how recently they've been, and we made a joke about this, either I believe it was on air, how they believe it is perfectly acceptable to say, all right, we're picking up this rivalry again for this week, for this match, and we will actually use the clip saying, 2 weeks ago, so-and-so, but so I'm assuming they haven't dropped anything for real, but maybe on SmackDown or on Main Event, we could easily have, let's say, you know, Fandango versus Santino again, or Emma versus Layla, and then Summer Rae will come in and interrupt, you know? Something like that can happen again. Because, they don't care in a weird way, which is that I will admit, that's upsetting. It's not angering like the Torito thing, but it can be a bit grating.
I guess the only thing that really bothers me is that me being a guy who really is in love with Paige, the Divas division has been looking stronger and been getting more TV time. Paige has not necessarily been a part of that. And I know she was on Superstars and stuff like that, which is weird, but like, I think
you
I'm
know
just
what
saying
I,
this
you
from
know
the perspective
I,
of someone who likes Paige.
No, that's the one thing, I think, because I like her too, but you obviously, you know, you love her. And two, one thing I really want to say is that I think they're realizing the Daniel Bryan problem, where, although I think it's even worse for the Divas, you get a new Divas champion, right? Where's her competition? And then there were crickets. Where's her competition? Who can she actually fight? Like, the fact that, I mean, it's great that they had to do this to someone, you know, to give Alicia Fox this great thing, but they had to do this to her, to someone, to give her competition at a pay-per-view. That's an issue. That's a huge issue. And it's the Daniel Bryan thing.
It just sucks because if you want to sit there, and I know you're not the one who's going to argue this with me, but
right.
If someone were to sit there and tell me that they couldn't have taken 120 seconds to give Paige a little backstage promo or something to hype up the fact that she's got a match with Alicia on Sunday.
Yeah.
I just, you know, it's the go-home show. You are the Divas champion. You're the women's champion, for God's sakes. You should be the women's champion. You are going into Sunday to defend your title. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you should have TV time. I mean, for God's sakes, if Daniel Bryan was defending his title this Sunday,
and he didn't have a second of TV time, we would go berserk.
All I'm saying is that she looked just as sexy as Big E did. I'm sad she didn't stroke her chin, but she looked great just staring at a television. I mean, I know you'd watch her stare at a television all day.
Yeah, no, it was funny because Mads mentioned the fact that, you know, someone has to let Big E know that Paige is stealing his gimmick of the watching TV thing.
Gimmick anyway. Shoot.
Yeah, in the distance, when Paige was watching TV, Daniel was crying. And on that note, Daniel, I know that we have to let you mop up your tears from that segment.
I'm happy she stole my gimmick because,
she stole my gimmick.
It's okay, Daniel. It's okay.
We'll
let him cry. We'll let him cry all night. We're gonna let you go, Daniel. It's okay. It's okay, Daniel. It's okay.
Yeah, no, it is okay. And remember that Paige is mine. That being said,
if anyone wants to cry with us, please call at 718-664-9468. The number is 718-664-9468. Why isn't the product as good as it used to be, is what you're saying? Well, call us and we'll talk to you about it. But seriously, though.
I need to use that line out of context. But.
Yes, right. But, all right. But,
yeah,
and also,
so
an extended show today, by the way. We're extended today. So are we going to end at 12:30? Are we not? Who knows?
Tune in to find out, He doesn't even tell me these things. We just get on the podcast. It's like, Matt, I need to go to the hospital at 12:30. No, but, man, I told them we're going to have an extended show. What are you doing, man?
You call back on your cell phone via the ambulance. That's how we do this. You're fine.
The show must go
You're
on.
Good.
The show must go on.
Yeah, but all right. So now we head back to where do we head back to, everybody?
I'm assuming
because
Monday Night Raw because that might have been what we were talking about.
Maybe
we got lost along the way.
Bray Wyatt. Hey. also, no. Here's the thing. Here's the funny thing. When he was just like, I want to speak to the king, you know, Jerry the King Lawler. I thought, is this everyone's default? Like, it felt as if everyone's default is just, like, beat up on Jerry. Like, anyone, even the face, like, Sheamus is like, I'm going to kick Jerry the King Lawler's ass. Like, what? Like, Sheamus, you're a face. Just bro kicks Jerry the King Lawler.
By the way, very quickly, since we moved on from that,
right?
Sheamus running in and bro kicking the shit out of Cesaro was not very facey.
No.
I know that it can be played in a face way because, it wasn't exactly a sneak attack, but Cesaro had just wrestled a match, and Sheamus just comes in and bro kicks the shit out of him. And it's just like, dude.
I feel like they're randomly trying to do, like, these Attitude Era aggression. That's what you guys like, right? Attitude Era aggression. And then a minute later, it's just Sheamus hugging a kid from Make-A-Wish. And he's like, guys, what are you doing?
He just randomly bro-kicked it. Like, just...
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, okay, so where are we?
We're at Bray Wyatt with Jerry the King Lawler, and I felt as if it was everyone's default to pick on King,
right,
but then
the
way they did it was just beautiful. Because, I mean, having the fact that JBL actually helped him, I did not, because that's never happened before, really. With, recently, in recent memory, where JBL just like, you'll have JBL, you'll have Cole, someone has to stop that guy, JBL. Why don't you do it, Michael?
Yeah, there was something, up to the point where John Cena entered, because I'm going to treat that as a separate part of the segment, not as a disrespecting,
because of all the
stuff that went on in the beginning. First off, Bray, again, delivered a really good promo that I found very, I don't want to say interesting because I use that word a lot, but I liked
intriguing.
It was just intriguing is good, but it drew me in where I wanted to. It's weird to say that from the outside looking in a way that he is the heel because he, in his like I am a god thing and my message is the only message is in a way a heel. Yeah, but in the beginning, he kind of addressed, like, the working man and basically says that you guys just, you take the shit, you don't fight for change, you don't, you just accept what's going on, and I'm the person who is fighting for it. And
yeah.
I know that he really isn't. I know that he's kind of like this cult leader, crazy guy. But you can buy into that kind of stuff, you know, where I feel like he was someone who I could relate to, but he was willing to go to extremes for it that I would not, because I
yeah.
am afraid to disrupt the status quo. But what he made me think in that promo is, would disrupting the status quo be such a bad thing? Like that whole, am I the snake or am I the cure thing was beautiful. It really, it was nice.
I just, yeah.
You understand.
I think that's the thing I'm really enjoying about Bray Wyatt now, is because they are trying their hardest to make him a heel, and it's working, but at the same time, it is in no way disrupting his own personal flow, where to make CM Punk face, let's say, it disrupted CM Punk's flow.
Right.
And I feel like he's not done that for Bray at all. I do think it's very funny how I thought one day, even though I'm not saying he is supernatural in any way, but how I wanted him to be a bit supernatural one day, not this soon, but one day, and all of a sudden on Friday Night SmackDown, he's speaking in tongues, which I found beautiful. The man just sits there and just starts speaking in tongues and then starts laughing at the end. And I thought, wow, okay, this is what we're doing now. That's cool. Okay.
Yeah, and it's weird because I thought this would get stale, and it hasn't. I'll give them that
no.
much. But
no.
I mean, it's interesting. By the way, when he mentioned that he realized you can't just take down John Cena. He was talking about the people around him.
Yes.
I swear to God, my first thought was, oh my God, he's got one of the Bella Twins trapped backstage.
I wouldn't. If they really try to keep this going until SummerSlam, they can take up my remember the virgin sacrifice thing, minus the virgin, but the sacrifice thing, they can do that with Nikki.
You know, I thought it was some kind of like, you know, something like that, and I didn't complain when they went to Lawler because they're right. Lawler has helped him in terms of being an announcer and putting ideas because he seems to center Bray around ideas.
That's the thing. When I saw them, first off, I thought he was picking him because, you know, King, you pronounce yourself the King, blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
right? I thought they were going to go for that. But also they go, you've helped John Cena. And I think, no, are they really going to go with the, you've planted ideas into their heads? I was like, I was extremely happy with that entire segment for most
yeah,
of it.
And especially the whole,
for,
you know,
yeah.
You've never questioned his morality or his message, have you? And it's like he
yes.
hasn't. He
yeah.
hasn't. And it's just really – and I mean, there may have been a time when he was still a heel when John was around and he may have questioned him, but that's not the point of the promo. The point of the promo is, as a face announcer, you know,
yeah.
you preach John Cena as the hero, and you don't question his morality. You know, where it's like you think about your superheroes. Superman doesn't partake – I mean, if he were to kill someone, right? If Superman – because he does, I think, right? Does he not?
Mm-hmm.
So if he – okay, well, is Batman the one who doesn't kill at all?
At all.
Right, because that's what I wasn't trying to say Batman. I wanted to think someone who wasn't. But any
but
generic superhero –
you have to.
Kill somebody.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Right? You think in the name of justice, not – he just killed a guy.
Yes. Good
you understand
point.
What I'm saying?
Right,
so
right.
not taking away from the fact that it may have been needed, but they just killed a person.
Yes.
So it's the same thing where it's like things that John has done may have been, but it's like John has done things like, you know, let's go back to Cole and dousing him in barbecue sauce as he stripped him down. Although in terms of logic, yeah, punishment for Cole may have been necessary. A lot of people, like the children, won't question his morality. And it's because it's beyond them. It's not their fault. They're fed John Cena, and they love John Cena, and we know that's all how it works.
Yeah.
But Bray is slowly becoming that person who can appeal to guys like you and I, the older crowd. Just as, like, CM Punk was our John Cena for a while. He's appealing to us, making us think, and I really appreciate that. Going
yes,
into John's
and
thing,
honestly,
though,
what I, here's, thing, what I, here's what I will say, before John's thing even. I feel as if, if it's the exact opposite of Extreme Rules, right, where Bray gets no help from any of, you know, the Wyatts, and
yeah.
it's just him versus John, and Bray loses, honestly, with the way promos have been recently, I would still sit back and go, Bray isn't anything less of than what he was before. Because just because John Cena wins doesn't mean that he isn't a liar. You know?
Yeah, and I will accept that because you specified if it's Bray versus Cena one-on-one and he loses in that. Because there is a lot that has to go down for John Cena to lay down for a 10 count. The man will barely lay down for a fucking 3.
Yeah.
So 7 more numbers is really hard.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, think about that. I mean, Eve Marie can barely count to 3. There are 4 other numbers there, too. This is really difficult.
What I'm really hoping for, and I agree with that completely, what I'm really hoping for is that the Wyatts do try to step in and then the Usos come out, and it's kind of a thing where they just, you know, they shield each other. And until, you know, and then the match happens, and the Usos in no way hurt Bray Wyatt. And, you know, and the Wyatts in no way get to hit John Cena. Everything is just clean until the end.
You know what I'd like the Usos, if they really want to do this helping John Cena thing, to basically say, you know what? We're going to challenge the Wyatt brothers, the two, Eric Rowan and Luke Harper,
to the tag titles.
Because,
right.
And then, so if you win, you can basically put it as if, oh, they're out of commission for the night, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And in that way, Bray versus Cena has to be one-on-one. And then you have an excuse for the family not to be there, and Bray has a chance to shine, where even if he loses, because you just don't want to have Cena light on for a 10 count, he's going to lose a man-on-man competition, a one-on-one, you know? And in that way, he is still not going to look horrible.
Not at all.
That leads into Cena's... Cena looked strong coming out of it, and I mean... You gotta throw me your thoughts on that, because usually
because I think he was angry with it, and I you know, I'm in and out right now, long weekend. I was in Chicago. We'll talk about that a bit later.
I was in Boston. I understand, good buddy.
Yes. So he didn't sound as if he made any really funny jokes. It sounded as if he was the only thing that I really the one thing I will say. It's just, you know, it's just, you've crossed a line, Bray Wyatt. And I sat there and thought, the children weren't that line? The children were just fine? But it's not his fault, it's the writer's fault. But still, the children were okay? Like, there was nothing, like,
that's
you heard
an
old
almost
guy.
Hilarious point.
Yeah. You heard an old guy, who I kind of know. Actually, he's a perfect, you know what, let's hang this guy. Like, this guy is... been with some really young girls.
That's promo material right there. Where Bray, you know, he just throws in something where it's like, that was the line, John. That was, your morals are fucked up, John. Just that would crack me up so much. He just, for a second, becomes Yami Yugi from the Abridged series. But he's fucked up, John.
Pretty fucked up, Harper. Pretty fucked up, Bray.
And by the way, credit to Harper for clotheslining JBL's head off in a beautiful little JBL getting clotheslined and then selling it when he came back. I've been hit by all these guys, but that was the hardest I've ever been hit. Subtle shit like that is beautiful.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just... Okay, with the Cena promo, you're right. No jokes, indeed. But it just struck me as weird because do you remember when... I don't know if we talked about this on air ever, but you know when we make the jokes where it's like, let's just say, like, for example, right, a homosexual man makes a comment on something, and you disagree,
and the
reaction is, oh, so you don't want gay people to get married? And you're like, no, I never said that at all. I was just disagreeing with what he said. You understand? When people
jump
to conclusions.
I felt like that was
it for John in a way tonight, where he was like, oh, so if everyone disagree with you, you want them dead, right? And it's like, whoa, John, no, I was attacking Jerry because he's your friend. He supports you. He puts people, no, you were trying to kill off everybody. You want World War III, don't you, Bray? You want to attack all these innocent people.
Here's
like,
the thing, though. Here's the thing, though. The only reason I hear you, but the only reason why the thing is, Bray has said a lot of things that kind of do feed into that, though. I feel, and I do think, though, if they wanted to maybe push it a bit more, because the second John Cena came out, I thought, right, they're doing this to lure out Cena to get him beaten up, but they didn't really explicitly say that. So I can understand why someone might think. Is Bray Wyatt the devil? I mean, look at that SmackDown promo. At first, I thought, it's like he's, like, in my head, I was like, oh, it's like he's saying he's the devil when he was saying, I was there when the city burned, I was there when this. But then he was saying, no, like, metaphorically speaking. And then he starts speaking in freaking tongues. And I thought like maybe he was
that.
There.
What? I think that really messed with you. But, no, but okay, argue me this then. If they had done the exact same segment with not Lawler but a fan in the crowd, wouldn't Cena's promo have made more sense? And I don't mean a regular fan. I mean a plant. I do mean a plant. But wouldn't it have made more sense? Because what Bray's accusations were to Lawler were correct.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
Like, it's not like a, you supported John Cena. Actually, I don't like John at all. You supported John Cena.
It was
a guy who legitimately has not questioned Cena's morality and has put the ideas in the head of people that John is their hero, whether that is true or not. Not debating the idea, but debating the fact that he has. So, if Bray had done that to a fan, you know, and just been like, you're wearing a John Cena shirt. Obviously, you want him to rule the world. And
I'm
John
just
was like,
with
now
my kid.
Innocent people.
Yeah, exactly.
Then I would have liked the promo.
I agree. Yeah, it can spill out into that. I think they think things like this, but they save them for when they know that one day it's like, well, we're gonna have Bray Wyatt versus John Cena 999. Who are they going to attack? His dad? Shut up. Like, who is he going to attack? A fan. Oh yeah, that's right. We saved it in file archive C or something. Like, all right, cool.
I want to move on from this, but I had the worst thought just now.
What?
Just the exact same segment.
Yeah.
With John Cena's dad.
And John Cena's dad.
To take out the king. It's just like John Cena. Your sperm is the reason he's here.
and he just goes, I'm so sorry. I never even wanted him. Live on air. I didn't even want him. Just immediately, John Cena's dad is now a Wyatt.
John is broken. John Cena's dad
John
ripped
is,
off his
John
shirt.
Is, John is broken, but only for about an hour.
Yeah, because John Cena's dad rips off his suit to reveal a shirt that says Bray Wyatt, Eater of Worlds. The crowd is shocked. Everyone is devastated, including John Cena, for the entirety of 10 minutes where he goes backstage with Renee and reveals that he is not scared. He will not back down. Hustle, loyalty, respect, yo, and he will come through.
And he's also been adopted. And then the man who steps up behind him is just, let me tell you something, son, Jack, brother.
He's been adopted
by Hulk
Hogan.
Hogan,
Matt, by America.
By
on America. Memorial Day.
By Mr. American on Memorial Day. There were We the People chants tonight during Davy Crockett's match.
There were We the People chants when Swagger came out. And I cried because I realized they were serious. But you know what also made me feel bad?
What?
Believe. Say yes to Jesus. That was a sign.
Yes.
Say yes to Jesus.
Yes.
Maddie
pointed
that out to me, and I laughed so hard because that was the greatest summation of tonight's crowd and their dynamic.
But let's move on to okay, I'm saying this. This isn't a joke. This is not ironic. This is a card. Zack Ryder versus Alexander Rusev. Mind you, coming out, waving the American flag, his song popped up as they're talking about the injuries that JBL suffered. It was a terrible thing. Woo, woo, woo. I haven't laughed any harder.
As ending John Cena's Memorial Day promo with a segue into Adam Rose.
Yes. That too, by the way.
I realized that right after, because right before they cut, it was like, yeah, it's Adam Rose time. And they just cut into Davy Crockett and Adam Rose. I'm like, yeah, that's the way to do it, WWE.
Yes. I'm going to quote an announcer again, if you'll let me. Michael Cole said, can Zack Ryder do anything against Rusev tonight? I've never laughed harder in my life. I know I say that every single week. But I've never laughed harder in my life. I want to repeat this quote for anyone listening and for future listeners. Can Zack Ryder do anything against Rusev tonight? I'm pretty sure no. And the match reflected that?
You know
but
what the match reflected?
What?
Zack's not enough of a patriot. See, so Zack, if he was really an American patriot, if he really cared about that American flag, he would have used that flag stole and stuck it right up that jabroni Rusev's ass. That's what he would have done. And beaten him to death with the American flag. Because that's what a real patriot would have done. That's what a real American like Jack Swagger or
Sergeant
Coldplay would have done.
Yep.
Or Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah. or the
Iron
Sheik. Before that little heel turn. Before that little heel turn.
That's what they would have done.
But
for
yes.
America. For
Gil. And then, of course,
to be a family man.
A family
for the
guy.
Declaration of Independence. That's what a real patriot would have done. And that's why Zack Ryder disappointed me tonight. On the flip side, Big E, a warrior for American freedom and obesity. He not being obese, but we being obese. He is a very fit and attractive young man.
He really is.
He,
also, he likes My Little Pony.
He fought for freedom.
Like I was telling you guys, and you know, this relates to what I was telling Daniel and yourself before, is that they forget things, they just drop them because they need time to do other things, and then all of a sudden they bring them back up again at the most inopportune time. Like, there was no reason why this had to be dropped. People were actually speculating online that it got dropped for good reasons.
And I was
here
too.
We are again.
I was too. I thought they had dropped it because they didn't touch on it in the UK. And
yeah.
I thought, oh, okay, I guess we're not doing that. And it was weird because, okay, it's Memorial Day, which means there is no way in hell Alex Rusev could look good on Memorial Day after shitting on America with Lana. You know,
right.
it's just a bad taste. It's one thing to have someone like Paige lose in her hometown. All right. It's another thing to basically spit in America's face as WWE in Tennessee. You know,
well, mind you, remember, though, WWE used to do that a lot. I mean, WWE, that's their – they spit in the face so that they can get heel heat, and then eventually you keep on watching until the day that Rusev is actually crushed.
It's just – no, for me, I am not that patriotic of a human being, okay? I will admit that very openly. But it's Memorial Day. They have these days in respect to people who put their lives on the line for this country.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And WWE is very veteran-friendly, and I respect them for that. So it would be, like, imagine as a veteran you watching on Memorial Day, and this guy just a stupid Americans and crushes them.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just,
it would be like if during Black History Month, two people, African-Americans, broke up a tag team and feuded, and one of them was actually homosexual, and he got beaten to the point where he was bloody. It would be just like that if that had ever happened.
It would be. It would be that bad.
If it ever.
Something that's never happened, because neither of those guys really matter now. But, I understand your argument, because it's not like something WWE wouldn't do. I'm just glad they didn't do it. My issue now is that I guess we're revisiting Big E and Rusev, and and no good can come from this, unless Big E wins, because he should win, because Big E's very talented and good at
what he does, for God's sakes. Yes. Well,
what
I think, this is the thing, though. People could argue that he would be being fed to Rusev. However, with the way they were showing how things were tonight with the two of them, as well as the last time they, you know, locked heads or whatever, I do feel as if they won't, you know, it won't be in a position where Big E is Zack Ryder'd in any way.
No,
I agree with that,
but Big E has no business as a former Intercontinental Champion and someone who had a push for a bit, and I'm not trying to joke here. You know, he has potential.
Yes.
He has no business laying down for Alex Rusev, because Alex Rusev is not a guy I really see a future in terms.
Yeah.
Like, he can do
things, but
he's not as good as Big E in terms of the overall package, especially if you take Lana away from him. I mean, for God's sakes, Big E doesn't even need a Lana. Imagine giving him a manager.
Yeah.
He's good at what he does.
I think that if they're smart, disqualification, if they're smart.
It can just be something where
Big E has the rope, yet he is still doing the clutch, and a five count happens because Rusev doesn't understand.
Or Lana doesn't make him let go, because Lana seems to control him like a robot, which is kind of cool.
Right. Oh, I love it so much. So as we're moving forwards, you know, little bits here and there, Road Brothers versus Evolution, I only have to really do, like, say two things. First off, why is Batista so tired 3 minutes into the match? He didn't really show it as in his performance. It's just that he looked like he was drenched in sweat. And I thought, really? It's been three minutes. How broken down is your body?
It's funny because it makes me feel like he's doing it on purpose almost. Because I'm beginning to appreciate the shit he does. And I'm wondering if he sits there and acts gas because that's his way of selling now.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, so this was done well because for the most part of the match, I thought to myself, like, hey, did they forget the fact that Triple H says this wasn't going to be a normal match?
Right. I thought it was just a little way of saying it's not normal because you're facing evolution. You know,
no,
something
because
like
he
that.
Said something specifically along the lines of, like, this isn't going to be an ordinary tag match.
Yes,
so
exactly.
I sat there thinking, what are they going to do? And then I got really upset because I thought, because they built that on continuity, by the way. They definitely built that on, and Cody
being mad
at Randy's like, hey, I kicked your ass, I got you fired. And then Cody's like, yeah, we beat the people that kicked your ass to get our jobs back. So, yeah, not too good there, Randy. And it was just a really cool little continuity thing.
It was, and I think that what I really also, what I really enjoyed was the match itself in no way buried the Rhodes brothers, even though you think, oh, no, Cody took the first pin. He took two RKOs. I feel like Randy actually likes him backstage. Someone likes him backstage to give him two RKOs
to take
him down.
He looked good tonight, by the way. I agree with you. I think they look good. I mean, granted, it made it seem like Evolution was dominant over the Rhodes brothers. But, hey, the Rhodes brothers have been on a bit of a tailspin. And these are guys who are former multi-world tag team champions. Both of them are world champions.
Yeah.
And Cody and Goldust, neither of them are world champions. And these are guys part of Evolution right now who are going through... I mean, it made sense for the match to go the way it did. And you're right. Cody didn't exactly come out looking weak, and Goldust got beat up by two strong guys. So it was done well. Cody looked great in his hot tag, by the way, when he came in, and then the finish with the first RKO was good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, and then Bo versus Sin Cara. First off, that was part two of a match that already happened on SmackDown.
On SmackDown, right, because they debuted
another,
him on SmackDown.
Another thing is I'm just so worried about Bo. I was at first worried about Adam Rose. Now he has his, you know, his formula. He's good. I'm worried about Bo only because it's just I feel like they're turning him. At first, I thought people were just jumping the gun. Oh, they're turning him into a motivational speaker, blah, blah, blah. I thought, no, not really. But now it just feels as if he says a few things here and there, I think, but he really needs to get, like, you know, where on NXT where he would, like you mentioned, we mentioned on air,
just
say little things.
Give it time.
Yeah, I know.
Because
that's
it's a
thing.
Very
give it time.
Subtle
have to do. Yeah,
thing.
It's subtle. But also, by the way, commentary is ruining it. I feel, because I understand why they have to sell it the way they're selling it, but the things Michael Cole is saying is making him sound like heel Cole. Because he'll say things like, come on, doesn't he seem like overjoyed, like a child? Like, why is that bad? It's bad when it's Bo Dallas because he's annoying as shit. But the thing is, though, is that if you're just having a guy explain it to you, it sounds like his explanation is basically trying to say, look at this guy being all nice and shit. Ugh, hate him. Don't you hate him? Come on, look at how nice he's being.
No, you're right, but it's subtle because they're trying to – the announcers aren't subtle. That's the problem,
I would argue,
because they can't do subtlety. And this is a gimmick that does require subtlety, where certain things where it's like him hitting the arm, he did this on SmackDown too, you know, him hitting the arm drag and then fucking doing a victory lap. I mean, like,
there's
things he's doing where me knowing who he is, I love it and I like what they're doing. They haven't turned it up to 10 yet.
And no.
I understand what you mean. Because, so far, I mean, he was getting cheers from the crowd because they were thinking, man, this guy is great.
They haven't seen
that he's John Cena yet. They haven't turned it up. He hasn't turned it up to 10 yet.
And he needs to say things like, you know, it's just sometimes it's just really hard. I don't know who to choose. You know, who do I like more, John Cena or Triple H?
But here's
where
when he's going to be able to do that, In a city that'll give the appropriate reaction.
Well, no. The thing is, I think that what's great is though, no matter what city, though, unless it's really, really bad, as we've seen in, you know, the last 2 months or so, but most cities, though, I think will be good enough where if those are the two names that he chooses, John Cena will get people booing because they're us, and then you think, oh, little kids will try and cheer, but then Triple H will get just the general, what the hell is this crack this guy smoking? Like, why would he, you know?
I think they'll wait until they bring him to, like, New York or something. And he'll just be like, my hero, John Cena. And immediately people will realize, oh.
But the problem
is that New Yorkers will already know.
No, but the problem, though, is that he can't just say one name like that because kids will still cheer him. He's still going to get organically cheered by people who don't get it, so he needs to do something that
is
heelish.
But he was cheering NXT for a while, too, because some people just...
Yes.
Like, a part of me is hard because I want to cheer Bo, if only because I appreciate the shit he's doing.
No,
but I know that wouldn't help the cause.
Of course, the first
right
one.
Now. Right,
because he needs to establish himself as Bo Dallas, and he hasn't been able to do that yet.
I will be so happy if he comes out on the tour. If he's going to be at the SummerSlam tour, I will be so excited. Imagine Bo Dallas and Bray Wyatt in the same arena. While I'm there,
it's going to be subtle, but
it's going to be beautiful.
He'll get there. And
oh, by the way,
I
don't know if you noticed tonight. They had Bo's thing transition right into Bray.
Yes.
Which was great.
Not on purpose, I don't think.
No, but it was still funny.
Yeah, I miss his old theme music, but I kind of like what they're doing with this whole, like, the whole Bo is miracle winning. And at some point, people are going to get annoyed with him, and then they're going to realize what's going on.
It'll
take some people some time. I mean, hell, it would take me some time if I didn't know exactly what he was doing. To think, wow, this guy's a face, and he's really happy and overly motivational.
Yeah.
And then you just wonder, like, certain days he's just going to slip in, like, you know, if you had tried, you could be like me. And
The one thing that was great. The one thing that was great, I'm sorry to interrupt, it's just it was beautiful. Him trying to shake Sin Cara's hand.
Sin Cara after the mask at the mask. And Sin Cara was just like, what the fuck are you doing? And it was great because that's the right reaction.
We're
like, what the fuck is he doing? He just won the match, that's great, but he just hugged Sin Cara. Why would you hug him? People are slowly going to realize this guy is a little bit, what the hell is he doing? And then he thanked all his believers, and he's been around for a week. It's like very subtle things. You have to realize, he's thanking his believers, and he just kind of debuted? That's like, you know, me running out there, I want to thank all my adoring fans. What? Wait.
Yeah, we just
what
started.
Did? And I just, it's going to work, I think. It will.
So the Stephanie and Daniel Bryan segment, I also want to say I really enjoyed it. The one thing that was just a little thing. I thought they were going to prolong the segment because, of course, he immediately turns it in and says, you know what? No, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing it because of them. And I thought, oh, this is interesting. Where's this going to go? And then she said, well, which is true. I mean, it's obvious. Well, you know, I'm your boss. I'm saying you have to choose at the pay-per-view, which makes me think, really?
Mm-hmm.
We have to. So now we have to watch the pay-per-view for a segment? It rubs me the wrong way. I mean, I know we're in an era of, you know, you don't technically have to pay for the pay-per-view by itself, but they really need to understand. They're at a point now where I know they want to play it safe because they don't want their superstars to get injured, but they're at a point where they need to start doing a lot more Hell in a Cells. And a lot less segments during pay-per-views.
Yeah, I just... Okay. You're right in the fact that, oh, God, we're having a segment of the pay-per-view. I'll say two things. Segments of pay-per-views used to be kind of common, as much as I complain about them.
Right.
There was usually at least one or two segments for pay-per-view. So this is okay because we had to make up time considering we're not going to have a WWE World Heavyweight Championship match.
True.
Or we might. I mean, what if a match comes out of this? You know, like, what if something happens to the title? Because Daniel obviously isn't going to let his wife get fired. And it was good healing to put that on him. I mean, yes, I would have liked this resolved before Payback. But I want to see what they do with it at Payback. Because I think they could go many different ways here, where Daniel's obviously going to have to drop the title, right? And because of that, Steph is going to look like a horrible, horrible bitch, which is good. And it's just going to be weird because does he drop it and walk away sad? Does he drop it and get beat up? Does he drop it and then they have a match that night? Or do they name it the Raw after?
No, I admit, I do believe that, I do believe that there's still a lot of cool things they can do with it. I just feel as if they might not put it on someone that they really, we talked about when the chance, you know, when it happened, that there was a chance they could build up a guy. I don't think they're doing that because I think they're just trying to run out the clock until Bryan comes back.
I agree, and I think the only reason they may not be doing that, though, is because they're hoping that he comes back sooner than later.
Exactly.
Which may be bad, but again, I have to give them time on this matter. I'm always the one that says, give it time, wait it out, I want to see,
true.
You know?
No, it's true.
But
it's just upsetting that, and I've also said that as well. I just think that it's upsetting that, you know, we're in a business, you know, we're watching something where it's just, you have to give it too much time sometimes. You know, sometimes it's too much. Right, and today's life and just everything, how it works, too much time is definitely a mistake you don't want to make.
No. And believe me, I do like stories, I do like rivalries, I do like things being built up, but as I said before, we're in an era where, a month-long rivalries, 2-month-long rivalries, that's how it could be. Like, that's how it should be. Like, unless it's something that's the major top-tier storyline, then okay. But John Cena isn't a top-tier storyline, and it's already going on 3 months. Daniel Bryan, understandable. He gets the pass. The Shield and Evolution, they're not going to get a pass because unless they're trying to bump them up to top-tier storyline because, they're Shield Evolution. You can't just have everyone fight for 3 pay-per-views and call it a day. Not this day. Maybe back in the day when you were so hot that you can jump from like almost 2 million pay-per-view buys to about 4.5 billion. Dear God. Million views. You can jump like that back in the day where you were just so hot. It was the Attitude Era of the 90s. Everyone loved you. Great. Chimes are changing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just do that now. But let's move on to something amazing. Davy Crockett versus Adam Rose.
I love Damian Sandow so much.
I really do. Even though I would like this to kind of erupt into a, why are you doing this, Sandow? I need attention. Which is because I just think it's just great. The fact that he even started to change up his accent.
Yeah, no, I mean, and within the last, I always point this out, within the last, 7 calendar months or so, right?
Yeah.
That's now Evil Santa, Magneto, Davy Crockett, and Damian Sherlock?
No, I think it was just Sherlock Holmes because it's actually the name is not copyrighted.
Okay, so now we're doing the if the name's not copyrighted, they'll throw in the actual name.
Yes. Unless it was Magneto, which obviously they were working.
But
with
that was
Marvel.
For movie promo, so obviously that.
Yeah,
was
yeah, yeah, exactly.
To let it slide,
so So Santa worked. Magneto was for promo. Sherlock Holmes is not copyrighted in any way. It's what's also funny is they used the riff that sounded like James Bond. By the way, even though it was 007, Sandow, the problem is, I think, is that they're not some for some of the nights, for some of the commentary, for some of the scripts, whatever. They aren't going completely into it. Where Sandow is, Sandow will come out and say,
"That's the thing.
I
love him.
Holmes."
He is 100% into these gimmicks. He's given 150%, to be honest.
Yes, and
I love
some
it
of the
for
yeah,
it.
And then the commentators. Sadly, I mean, I can understand if they want to have a little bit of a hissy fit where it's like he's not Sherlock Holmes, he's Damian Sandow. But other than that, it seems as if they, with a straight face, go, "Yep, that grapple was by Sandow," and it's like, "No, it wasn't. Davy Crockett did that."
Right.
Davy Crockett. If you're gonna, because it's just, I don't know. Like, the kids get it. Still, though.
You're right. You are right, actually. That's completely a valid criticism. Where if he's David Crockett tonight, you should refer to him as David Crockett. You should.
Unless you're angry. Because that's fine. Because I can tell, Cole, let's say, would get very angry. Where it's just, I remember on Main Event, I think it was Saxon, was just, Saxon? Saxton?
Yeah, Byron Saxon.
Saxon, yeah, was pissed. Was just, there's no investigation! There's nothing to investigate!
I gotta give it to Sandow though for just doing this stuff. And he's entertaining, and he's also good in the ring. And this is actually giving him, I can't complain. Where I thought, I feel like they listened to me and they basically said, not even just me, rather us, where we say that John Cena buried him, and they just said, you know what, we're gonna unbury him, and they're giving him TV time, and I think this is gonna lead to something. Which
it has
weird,
to because the thing is, and it's funny because I don't complain about Adam Rose not having a backstory, but others do, and I listen, okay, fine, doesn't have a backstory, whatever. People should start complaining about Sandow now because out of nowhere he just decided I will rent costumes for a living.
By the way, which is going to feed this eventual change where he's going to be a face and people are going to love him. And and I will be free to love him.
Yeah.
But it's just,
It was
cool. I would still love if he can still do half the things that he does as a heel, where it's just, you know, it's just like, you know, the people of America are ignoramuses, but definitely not this town. Am I right or am I right?
No, stuff like that could work if only because, remember, do you remember when Kurt Angle turned face? Against,
barely.
Like, Ray and Randy Orton kind of thing?
No.
All right, well, basically, for a while, you remember the You Suck chants, right?
That's all I remember is You Suck.
Okay, so he was getting the You Suck chants between his, like, his metal music. And
right.
At one point, as he suddenly started turning face, he basically said, when the crowd is chanting You Suck, they're not chanting at me. They're chanting at you, my opponent. And at first, the crowd was like, well, F you, but then he started doing face stuff, and they started going with him. And
yes.
Immediately, it's like, okay, you played Here Comes the Pain, right?
Yes, of course.
You know, in storyline, you got to have a certain amount of points to do things. Like, you got to
yes.
have a certain amount of superstar points to, like, challenge for the World Heavyweight title. But
right.
if you're at, like, say, 95 in terms of heat as a heel, if you turn face, you're still that popular. It's
yes.
that kind of thing.
Where, right.
you know, you can, if you're popular now, like, if Sando gets popular in this gimmick and he turns face, that's going to carry over. People are going to love him.
Yes,
and
yes,
he
yes,
can
yes,
still
yes.
do a lot of the things where suddenly when he starts talking down to people, he's now talking down to heels. And
oh,
people
definitely.
Are like, yeah, you're right, Damien. Yeah, go get him.
Most definitely.
So very subtly it's going to happen, and I hope they know how to do subtle. I
oh,
think
yeah.
they do because Bo Dallas. But, hey,
yeah.
right,
I
am going to like
say.
It.
I was- Yes, and before
thank you
we
for
go, let's
Damon
talk about
Sano.
Thank you. Let's talk about Adam Rose just for a little bit. I'm happy he was very strong. If it bleeds into some of our you know some of our archive time, it bleeds into our archive time. I'm a really big fan of the fact that he was not only he had a match, he was strong during it. He did some funny things, but he was still very strong during it. And he just nothing about him felt off. You know, it felt as if he was being Adam Rose. And they also made him look intimidating because, you know, they kidnapped the lemon. And he said with a straight face,
I don't even...
Just, nobody takes my lemon. With a straight face, mind you. And he looked very angry while... Because honestly, like, what's great about... And even when the parties came out, he just remembered, like, oh yeah, I like to party. But before they came out, it looked like he could have gotten out of that ring. And not as a wrestler, as a fighter, ripped Jack Swagger's head off of his body and carried it around like Steve Blackman and would be like, yeah, okay, he did it, whatever. Like, it would have been a logical progression from the way... from how angry he looked. And it's good because you need to give him that edge where it's just, it's party time all the time. It's like, but, you know, but I messed with one of your friends. You did what? Oh, not good for you. And then just beat down.
No, and it's funny because of the fact that when he dropped the spine buster on Swagger,
yes.
the crowd was like, whoa.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Was, and this is why I kept saying he needed to do something physical, because
mm-hmm.
immediately a likable guy turns into a likable tough guy.
Yeah.
Where, and not like he's a bruiser, but they basically just sat there and thought, oh my God, this guy can deal out some damage if he needed to. And
that's the thing.
Great.
I want him to be a bruiser. I want him to be the kind of guy who is all, not much hippie, but is all peace, love, and zen. And, you know, life is a giant party. But, hey, one of his moves is called the party foul. There's going to be times during parties where people are going to get a little too rowdy. And you got to settle some disputes, you know. I like that he's just that kind of guy, and that maybe people can see him as that kind of guy, where you know he isn't weak in any way. But the reason why I made references to you know people complaining that should be thinking you know complaints about Damian Sandow if they complain about Adam Rose is because you know not you know backstory for Sandow now and the fact that the backstory is right now why is he wrestling like he's in these outfits why is he wrestling why is he these people right. So hopefully that gets addressed, and with Adam Rose, I'm happy that we're at a point where he is, in my opinion, gone over any slump that people could have said he was in. And
help me here, by the way, as you go on.
Right.
My TV was not working that well tonight, so I saw everything, but
yes, yes, yes.
Could you gauge the crowd reaction?
Honestly, I would say yes. When you said surprised, I agreed. I felt as if people were surprised from, you know, from the fact that he
was a bit angry. That
spinebuster
was tough, wasn't it? Because it looked
Yes. No, people were happy. I don't think that they were electrified or anything, but people were happy. I think people enjoyed him coming out. There were no boos. Oh, actually, no, let me rephrase that. I think the boos, if there were any, were just the fact that, you know, I mean, we're going to have a, you know, swagger and stuff. So, like, the boos are the same complaints that I had originally, where if you want to get a guy over, you don't put him against a heel who's, a heel or a heel's gimmick who is over, or that is over. You don't do that. So it could be anyone. Put The Rock against the Real Americans, and you're going to love The Rock. You're going to get The Rock, everyone chanting for The Rock's name, but you're going to get people also chanting We the People during the match, which will confuse The Rock completely. You know, you don't do that. You don't do that. You got to get someone who's hated. I mean, think about it, right? Muhammad Hassan, hated. Who did you want to go against him at WrestleMania? Hulk freaking Hogan, right?
Most American thing you could think of at the time.
Yeah, and who is a face with it. But you're not going to throw, like, you know, let's say Kurt Angle or something, who's like, oh, but, you know, it's you have to pick the right people. And in this case, I think they just thought, he's a heel who's a fuddy-duddy. You know, he's stuck up and just like the party. That'll be great. It's like, no. Guys, same thing with Paul Heyman, where it's like, guys, people really respect him, and people are also very loud. You know? So you gotta put two and two together. I mean, the fact that you can hear in main event Paul Heyman being drowned out when he says his own name, the background noise from people screaming Paul Heyman's name getting drowned out with him, where it's like, my name is Paul, and then you heard in the background just a slight echo, but then it had to be, you know, drowned out later. Like, during his speech. It's just like, wow, people actually enjoy him. But they're not letting that happen because, you know, it's their universe. They want to control their own universe. But they have to realize that it's a live event. It's not a movie. So they really need to tailor. So while this was a bad choice for Adam Rose, still, he's, I don't know why I'm referring to him as this, but, you know, stay with me. Bray Wyatt type, where he can act and talk his way out of it, I feel.
Yeah, he's got the potential to get his way out of it. And we'll see. I mean, he's going to have his first full-length match on Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really hoping Swagger doesn't concuss him.
No, yeah. That would be,
I'm not even trying to make a joke here.
If he does, and, you know, at the very least, he can just party a lot. It would suck, but he could just party a lot. He can have people they can have people in his crew wrestle a bit.
Sure.
Because they are wrestlers. They're NXT
concussion.
Me neither. So guys, we have to wrap this up. I would like to thank you guys for listening to Those Guys. Definitely like us on Facebook if you have not already. Those Guys on the Radio is the URL. And if you're just searching us, just search up Those Guys. And if you have any friends who, you know, maybe like us, just, you know, send our links around. Get some people to like us. You know, we do not only wrestling, but we do Dragon Ball Z, Supernatural, which is the season finale, the season finale of Arrow, weekly comics. You know, when I mentioned Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Z movies, usually on a weekly basis. And, and of course, Asish and I are going to probably branch out into Pokemon and things like that. If you have any suggestions for any shows you would like us to do, definitely hit us up on our Facebook. And anything you would like to say before we have to go?
Yeah, and of course, anyone out there who's just listening to us now, any new listeners, feel free to jump into our archives and listen to anything we've talked about before, which includes a lot of stuff Matt has mentioned already, where we talked about How I Met Your Mother, Supernatural, Pokemon, that kind of stuff. And if you want to gauge how we feel about that stuff, archives are always right there, thanks to Blog Talk Radio. So feel free to just delve into them for us.
Which, you know, which if you are unfamiliar with Blog Talk Radio, I will be posting on the Facebook tonight, so you can just see the archives themselves. It's kind of hard. It might be hard to manage it for you if you don't know the layout, but still,
right.
Find our profile, find our episodes. There they are. And, you know, again, like I said, thank you guys for listening to Those Guys, and I am Matt Marrero signing out, and you are Satish Ram, and would you like to play us out with some music, Mr. Ram?
Sure. These are for the people who may have forgotten an American hero on a day that it is
a
day to remember.
Okay.